Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And great to be back with you, Caleb Hamill, Josh West with you. It's time for a little Crusader Talk where we talk everything William Carey Athletics. We are pre-recording today. In fact, you know, if you're listening to this right now on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 or maybe on demand, we can easily answer the question for you. We do remember the 21st night of September because that's when we recorded this podcast. Josh, how are you, bud?
Man, I am doing good. I'm just glad to be here. We were trying to coordinate schedules this weekend, and everybody's here, there, and everywhere, including our guest here in this first segment. So the miracle of technology here tonight.
That's right. That's the way we are coming to you this evening, and we're happy to be joined by swim coach Robert Gonzalez. After the first meet of the season, coach, first of all, big season last year. Obviously, we've talked to you since the finish of that 2020 425 season. It feels like the big target's on your back now. There's no more just inaugural season. Now there's expectations. How's it been so far?
I think we had a really good opening meet of the season. Went up to Delta State on Friday afternoon, had some good swims. You know, second year of the program, it just means that we have a little bit more depth added to our rosters, which is so critical for us to be able to have team success. Not a whole lot of surprises. We kind of learned a little bit about ourselves and how the guys, you know, trained themselves over the summertime, really early of a season style meet, only being back in the pool for about 3 weeks on our end. And now we're just looking to be able to, you know, kind of catapult ourselves from here, learn from things that need to be, you know, received from these guys, and, you know, just keep getting better every single weekend.
Yeah, Coach, one of the big things about swim are the different events, and some people don't realize just how different some of these can be. Some teams have stronger suits in, you know, one type of maneuver, whether it's butterfly or freestyle. What has kind of been the go-to for you since you've come into William Carey with the personnel you've got?
And the goal is always to be as balanced as possible. I would say, you know, initially our first goal of making the first team was to be strong in the medley relay, having somebody who could fit every single role, whether it's back, fly, breast, and free, making sure that we had that solidified all the way. You know, you want to have a combination of sprint speed, middle distance guys. You need to have your distance guys. Now it's just a matter of getting more and more people in those events, making sure that you're scoring in every single race. No different than track and field. You can't put everything in just to, you know, you can't just load up the 100-meter dash and not have anybody in the pole vault. You got to make sure that you're putting everybody spread out, maximizing point scoring opportunities.
Coach Gonzalez, this is Josh, and again, we're happy to have you tonight. And so many questions that we have is about this program and its growth, but just the reception of the program on the recruiting trail in year two. As you know, you're talking about building the depth, and you're selling it. Obviously, you've got so much to sell with the university, the athletic program, the swim program, with immediate success in year one. Has there been an enthusiastic response to your recruiting efforts?
It definitely changed from year one to year two. I'll say that, you know, going into the system now, you know, people are familiar with us because we actually have results that kind of, you know, back up what we're trying to do. We had a lot of swimmers who came from, you know, very strong club programs and high schools out there worldwide, and they got here in year one and they got faster. And I think a lot of times in a sport as objective as ours is, you got to show that they're going to continue to develop under your tutelage. And I think we had a good group of men and women last year who kind of set the bar high. And so now we have that kind of a track record in year one of saying, okay, we're not just going to bring in swimmers. We're going to develop those swimmers and continue to get the best out of them. And so for year two, it's going to change our philosophy and what we're looking for. And every single time we get a new recruit, it kind of recalibrates, you know, what our next, you know, man or woman swimmer, you know, coming in is going to be, you know, as we continue to be able to, you know, elevate our performance by getting the best swimmers in the entire world to come to William Carey.
You know, I always think about this inaugural team from last year and think about how interesting it would be to try to found a team like this, because you can't put all your eggs into one basket for, all right, we're going to get the greatest freshman class ever to just come through here, and that be the team that lasts for the next 4 years, and then all of a sudden you've got nobody, and you have to replenish the whole thing. How has it been as far as the balance between newcomers and people that are returners?
That's a really good question. You know, I was originally hired by Athletic Director DJ Bully before he left, and we had some really intricate meetings on how do you start a program from scratch. And he cited a couple of sports that were added as he was Athletic Director when he first got there. And some of them really try to build the entire roster before year number one. And then you get into the problem of, okay, it's year four. They all leave at the same time. We went the route of, okay, we want our full-size roster to be about 40 total, 20 guys, 20 women. We had 8 and 8 the first year. And so now our goal is to add about 4 to 5 more bodies each year to get to that full size. And then you have that natural, recruiting process where you're graduating 8 and then you're bringing 8 in kind of on an annual basis. So, you know, for the most part, you know, you're not going to have anybody graduating because they're all freshmen and sophomores right now. So the number can only really go up until you hit until that fourth year hits. And you got some seniors cycling out, and then you have that nonstop recruiting cycle that becomes more natural by year 5.
Coach Gonzalez, when you are, you know, not only here regionally, locally, but, you know, internationally as well, the balance right now is probably going to be obviously heavily international and regionally over local. Are you hoping to see that change over the next 5, 10, 15 years? How far are we from this local, you know, Gulf Coast area catching up to where this sport is on a national global scale?
I would say that right now, out of our entire team roster, we have about 1 in 3 of our swimmers who are international, and then 2 out of 3 are Americans. And out of all of our American swimmers, they're all in the Gulf Coast greater area, whether it's Mississippi, Alabama, you know, Florida, Louisiana. I mean, we're in that Gulf Coast region. I think that's going to be our sweet spot. And when our swim team does move to the Biloxi campus, you know, that's just going to be a really important thing for us in our evolution as a program, because if you're a Gulf Coast swimmer in those 4 or 5 surrounding states, you're going to that pool facility all the time as a club swimmer, going to big meets, you know, on an annual basis. So they're familiar with that program. They're familiar with the facility and the area. That's going to be our sweet spot area. I mean, that's the goal, the growth. That's the vision for our university, is to make sure that the Gulf Coast region becomes our go-to. I mean, that's going to be our fertile ground. That's where we really want to dominate, all the way into Florida, all the way into Texas, and then everything in between. That's going to be the area that we're going to do our best to dominate in.
Yeah, it's so great to hear that as well, because, again, me kind of getting on the fast track with swimming, I would have thought that it was playing perhaps a little bit of catch up, because it's not something that's grabbing the headlines. So I guess give me some more of your thoughts of just the state of swimming in the region.
Well, the good thing is that, I guess, coming from a family whose siblings all swam, you know, dad was a coach in the Louisiana and Mississippi area. I mean, my roots are so heavy down here in the sport of swimming that I have a lot of, you know, solid network and positive relationship with the coaches down here throughout all the Gulf Coast states, having seen these teams evolve over time and being able to know who to reach out to. And our sport's also very objective. You know, you kind of see a lot more easily in our sport where a swimmer is in their development. You know, it's not quite like certain sports. You know, I can tell you right now, being a former high school coach, that I've been to baseball games. I love baseball, but I can also say that that's a lot more challenging when it comes to the recruiting, because I've been to baseball games before where you may have 40 parents out there in the bleachers who think that their kid's the best starting pitcher on the team. It just is what it is in that sport, a lot more subjectivity. With us, it allows us to be a little bit more thoughtful in the process, know exactly what we need. You know, math doesn't lie. You know, the 4 fastest guys are going to be on the relay team together, no different than the 4 fastest 100-meter dash runners are going to make the track team a relay. And then it's just a matter of just finding the balance. You know, you want to make sure that you have the depth in every single position to be a successful program.
Coach, you got about a minute left, and so I want to give you the opportunity to tell us what's next after your first meet of the year.
So right now, you know, we kind of use this first meet to be able to identify where we are in need of. You know, when it comes to a couple of our guys right now, a couple of them coming off of some injury, we've got a couple who didn't swim at this first meet. So our priority right now is to get healthy. Then we get ready for a couple of conference meets, you know, getting ready for Thomas University, Life University. We're going to be traveling out there for the first time. We have our first home meet this year against Thomas University, and then we'll wrap it up with Loyola University out of New Orleans. We'll host them down in Biloxi in January. And so it's just a matter of just making sure that we're finding the right balance and making sure that we're training our guys for where they need to be peaking at the right time. You know, 3 weeks into the season, we're going to still be very technically sound early on, and then the trend is really going to be picking up intensity wise as we start getting into October and November before we get into our first major meet of the season right before Thanksgiving week, and we go over to Columbus, Georgia for the for a early season invitational meet with some of our conference opponents.
Well, Coach Gonzalez, we're looking forward to it, and thanks so much for joining us here on Crusader Talk today.
Thank you guys for everything y'all do. Y'all take care.
Will do. That is Robert Gonzalez, head men's and women's swim coach for William Carey University. Up next, going to be talking a little volleyball. Stay with us.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, good conversation with Robert Gonzalez from swimming. Glad to see their season in full swing. I tell you what, it kind of snuck up on us. Yeah, we were so wrapped up in volleyball and men's and women's soccer, and all of a sudden we're like, oh yeah, the pool. The one thing not mentioned in our intro. The field, the court, the diamond, and we got to add the pool now.
We do. And, you know, the thing that was, I think, the big takeaway for me with that conversation from Coach Gonzalez was just happy to hear that swimming is so strong in the region. Because I think, you know, admittedly, I wasn't ashamed to say it, that's something that's not grabbing as much of the headlines. And so that's an emerging sport in terms of fan engagement at the local regional level. We're so football, baseball heavy here in the South. And as we shift gears to talk to volleyball, volleyball's that sport that has rapidly caught up to, say, the basketball and the softball on the women's side, especially in the state of Mississippi. And the young lady we're talking to this segment is a big reason why, a big part of that. She's lived that growth.
Yeah, she certainly has. We're talking now to star from William Carey Volleyball, Natalie Bartholomew. We call her Nat because we're all close like that here at the university. And Nat, thanks so much for joining us here on the podcast today. It's good to have you.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I didn't even know that William Carey did this. I think it's really cool. We all have a lot of fan engagement and all kinds of different things going for the athletics. So this is really cool.
You hear that, Josh? We may have a new listener now.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, Nat, first of all, I mentioned thanks for joining us here for the podcast today. We need to get a little bit of a 1,000-foot view of Natalie Bartholomew, the volleyball player, and how she's arrived at William Carey for her senior season. I know you're from Brandon. I don't hold it against you as a Madison Central grad. But, you know, one other big thing is that you were also a transfer to Carey from a fellow SSAC school. So walk us through this whole journey of going from high school through your college career to now kind of wrapping it up at William Carey.
Yeah, so I obviously started at Brandon. I played club volleyball for Infinity. I actually was there the first year that Infinity was ever formed, like the club. So I've been there since the very beginning. And after that, I went to play junior college volleyball at Pearl River, right down the road from William Carey. And then after I finished my 2 years, me and my teammate, actually, from Pearl River, went to Blue Mountain together. And then now I'm here. So,
and Nat, this is Josh. You know, we visited after the broadcast on Friday after that big sweep over Life, over a very good Life team that had a win against Mobile already in their hip pocket. And that snapped a big long winning streak for them. But we'll talk more of numbers and all later in the podcast. But we were talking with you what drew you to Carey And it's the culture. It was the excitement, the possibility to be a part of something really special. And anybody that goes into the Ben Waddell Sports Complex now, they instantly feel that. And you're a big reason why, as one of the energizers of this team.
Yeah. Whenever I was deciding where I was going to go, well, really, I was going to end up quitting, honestly. I wasn't even going to play my last year of volleyball. I was just planning on moving down here and trying to start nursing school, but I was able to get my release papers and play. So I was like, I'm going to just reach out and see if she's interested in everything, because for any coach to take William Carey's volleyball program and do what she's done in the short amount of time that she's been here, you know, there's got to be something behind that. And so I was like, I really wanted to be a part of it. And I'm glad that I got the chance to be.
And that there's a love and a passion for the game of volleyball that fueled you to want to do it for another year. You've got so many different players like Elisa and others on that team, along that front line, Bettini and others that are just so contagious in terms of their personality, always smiling, great body language, great attitudes. Again, I'm going back to the culture of this team. I see it on television, but to be 5 and 6 feet away from it, where I'm broadcasting from every night, and you being on the floor with it, I mean, that's something that is special, isn't it? That's not everywhere.
No, it's definitely not everywhere. I mean, coming in to Carey, I didn't really know what to expect, obviously. Being the newbie senior, if you come in and you play, like, you know, you're taking spots from people and all that. So I didn't know how that was going to be here, but I'm serious when I say, like, every single person on this team, like, wants you to do your best, and they want you to play, and they want whatever is going to put the team in the best position to win. That's what they want to do. Like, this team is so selfless, even though we have that competitiveness, obviously, to push each other and be better. Like, each girl on this team, like, wants to see you succeed. And I've really loved that here. Everybody wants to see you win. There's encouragement, and we all take it very seriously, obviously. So that's nice too. Just everybody's on the same page. We're all super locked in, but really I've loved the culture, and they're all my best friends. And even if we get super intense sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm not doing good, someone's going to check me in place, but it's from that competitive side, and I want to win. Like, come on, let's do this. So it's been nice.
Now, you talk about that chemistry that you've got with the team. Now, this is also your first year at William Carey. How has it been adjusting to life in Hattiesburg, and how does that compare to what you've left over in the Blue Mountain area?
Well, I wanted to come back to Hattiesburg anyways, because I went to Pearl River, so I obviously was pretty close to Hattiesburg my JUCO years.
Very true.
Yeah, I love Hattiesburg, and I've always come to Hattiesburg. My parents went to Southern Miss, so I just like the college town here. So it's been very refreshing to be back in Hattiesburg after being in Blue Mountain, Mississippi. I don't know if you know much about Blue Mountain, but there's not much to know. So
I'm from Alcorn County at some point. I was there before I moved to Madison, so I went up there a couple times, had a few math and science tournaments, so that labels me as a nerd. All that said, as far as campus life for William Carey, I know that there are so many people that really don't know what William Carey has to offer until they step foot on campus or they become part of the culture that's around. And Dr. Burnett comes on the Earth Show and talks about it time and again, and we see it with even athletics, with the coaching staffs that we have. So often they're alumni that just want to stick around their programs. How have you been able to see the culture at William Carey, and what's your favorite part about it?
Well, I didn't even realize how nice all the facilities and everything was at William Carey until I came on my visit and I saw everything. Like, the campus is, I mean, it's not like a huge campus, but all the facilities are so nice, especially with the athletics. The basketball gym is super nice, the soccer fields, the training room even. And you don't really appreciate those things until you've been at schools that don't have things like that. And you come in and it's like, wow, this is awesome. I love that we have this. But and then everybody, all the athletes that I've talked to and hung out with, like, everybody's been great. And I really love the culture. It's funny. I'm actually neighbors with the baseball team. They live above me at my apartment complex. So that was funny.
Nat, do they let you sleep, or are they celebrating video game touchdowns at 2 a.m, you know, getting into heated?
Well, so, you know, the way I found out that they were my neighbors actually was I wrote them a letter telling them to please shut up, or I was going to have to report them.
I knew it.
So I had just gotten in from San Antonio from preseason. I literally got back at 5 a.m. to my apartment, and I come in and I'm trying to sleep, and they were playing music and doing stuff at 5 a.m. So I wrote them a letter that morning, and I was like, y'all are going to have to tone it down. I'm serious. I can't handle this.
We'll have to get the list of names later on as to who yes. they were.
Yeah.
Nat, we got to get them on to defend themselves now. Like, you know, were they headed to workouts? Were they still up from a night of gaming or whatever the story may be? Nat, I'm loving all of this and loving just the full story of the complexities of what got you here. For this Cary team, as it's finally now starting to hit its stride, gaining confidence here, 4-1 in the league, and heading into some really big matches over the next few weeks. Everything's going to kind of feel like it's on fast-forward mode again, like the early season tournament. You got about a minute left. What can we expect from this team getting a little healthier moving forward over the next month or so?
Yeah, I actually think this weekend was a showing, you know, we're finally finding a groove, and we can do it. And honestly, I think a lot of other teams in the conference right now, since we took a conference loss and we got swept and all that, they're probably sleeping on us. But, you know, we're a team to look out for this year. And I don't know if everyone's taking us seriously or whatever, but we not only have a great lineup right now and are starting to gel together, we have about 3 to 4 different lineups that we could do and go beat teams in this conference. So we are a very dynamic team. We have lots of depth on this team. Big hitters with lots of big experience and great players and great athletes. So I really think we're about to do a lot of big things this season if we just keep working at it and keep this chemistry going up, because I think it finally clicked for us this weekend and we're starting to get some of that confidence back in ourselves.
Well, thanks so much, Natalie. Congratulations on a great weekend. I look forward to the rest of the season with you.
Yeah, thank y'all.
All right, that is Natalie Bartholomew from Women's Volleyball at William Carey. Big match coming up this weekend with Loyola and several others as conference play continues on here in 2025. More to come as we continue on a Crusader Talk. Josh and I will be back with you when we come back.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I think that was probably my favorite interview we've done on Crusader Talk in a long time. Easily my favorite player interview.
Well, look, I mean, instantly when I got her over, and I think it was before the interview at the end of the broadcast, I was like, hey, Nat, we want to have you on the show. Because I've been watching her for multiple games and Caleb, or multiple matches. And her, again, body language, attitude, eye contact, she's ferocious when she plays. So she's not the only one. It's a team full of players that magnetize you. You focus on them and just the way they play, because it's an entire culture of players that are so bought into the culture and Rhonda's system, and they're so eager to listen. And if you watch Rhonda, she does not raise her voice, and if she does, it's not very loud. But a lot of times, she stays seated, they come over, they lean down, eye contact, and she talks to them almost in a whisper, almost in a soft tone, and they're nodding, they're locked in eye contact, and they're nodding as she's talking, and then it's a high five, it's whatever, and they go back and high five their teammates. All of that to say, it's so lost in sport today. Caleb, you watch high school football and JUCO and college and NFL, all the different football. It's football season. You don't see a lot of that.
No.
So when you see it and you see an entire team of it, it's so refreshing.
It really is. And Coach Hurley's doing a terrific job over there. And speaking of terrific jobs, Josh, we got to jump into soccer because some great weeks for both men and women on the pitch. As you know, first, let's start off with women's soccer.
Crazy how good it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, start off with a home noon, or actually pre-noon match against Georgia Gwinnett. We're able to blank the Grizzlies 3-0. Defensive week for soccer, I would say, as they get that win on Wednesday. And then we teed it up with Coach Owens last week on the podcast about, do you think you're going to set a record against Abraham Baldwin this year? You know, you had 26-0. You know, work's cut out for you. He goes, no, probably nothing like that again. Yeah.
It was.
25-0. Yeah, so he's a goal short of what he had last year. They're up 15-0 at half. And I texted him as they were driving back on Saturday night, and I asked him, Coach, did y'all not want to just do the record? He said, oh, man, with about 20-some-odd minutes left in the match, we told him to stop scoring. I was like, you've got to be kidding.
Right. No, that's what I was about to say. Not to go into too much detail, but yes, from the secondhand reports I was getting, they could have blown that record away. They got pressured a lot. They got pressured a ton in that match. And so rather than getting back and set defensively, it opened up so many, you know, gaps that you could drive a school bus through. That's exactly what Kerry was able to do, and just score at will with the skill that they have. So tip of the cap to them. A lot of players getting to play, a lot of players getting to see the ball go in the net. That's only going to, you know, pay dividends just in terms of, again, sometimes you need to see a putt drop if you're a golfer.
Exactly.
And so that's going to help.
So the early box score that we got was not quite accurate because it had all the scoring in the first half. They eventually revised it. I believe Kevin had to go back and watch the film. But get this. If this is accurate, this is incredible. So one, the coming of Natoya Atkinson to the playing field. Out of Jamaica, she's a newcomer to the team. How about this against Abraham Baldwin? A goal shy of a double hat trick. Five
Good
goals
grief.
For number seven. Coming off the bench, by the way. Four different Crusaders had three goals or more. Virginia Mesa also had five. You had Karen Villal with four. Raquel Diaz with three. Maddie Davis had two. Lauren Entremont had two. Shy of her, three from a hat trick against Georgia Gwinnett. She had all three in that match. And then other goal scorers, Sophie McGee, Kokona Nishikawa, Leslie Vasquez, Boo Mills. And I think that's all the goal scoring. I think I've tallied them up where it totals up to 25. But nevertheless, incredible showing for William Kerrigan that one, which it was last year. I don't know that I expected the same from this year because that just seemed like it was such an out-there type thing. But yeah, hats off to Coach Owens and the girls. But you move from the girls, then we got to start talking about the boys, the lads, and what they were able to accomplish this week. Coach Farrell's bunch, they get the job done. They're trending up. Josh, you had a firsthand account of it on Saturday.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, Melina goes for the hat trick with Clayton on the call on Friday night. I step in to watch Malero get a goal to break the ice in the 31st minute on Saturday. And then Kerry was able to bring in some subs off the bench and then was able to get Stakovic a goal to run onto one of the box to bang one in the 81st minute to really put that one on ice and get the win. But that's, again, four in a row for the Crusader men, 5 out of 6. Good stuff.
And in fact, you had a good conversation with Coach Farrell. Let's listen into that and how it sounded on Saturday night.
And we're joined by Barry Farrell, head coach of the William Kerry men's soccer team. Barry, just to go back through this weekend, for those that may not have heard your postgame thoughts last night, Molina gives you a hat trick. Tonight you come out, you get an early goal from Malero that kind of settles this team in, knowing that Central Baptist came in with a really good game plan, and then you get one late to kind of put this on ice. Just take us back through the weekend.
Yeah, it was, you know, I feel we've got our kind of formation. You know, we've been steady with our team as well. The boys have settled in, and, you know, another clean sheet as well, another shutout as well. we got to, as I said to the boys last night and even today, we've got to finish those chances earlier. The Rico Duggan chance earlier on, the Santi Molino chance there today. And it's similar to yesterday, you know, we started really well. We got two early goals and then we just took the foot off the gas, like, hey, this is going to be easy. 2-0 is a, you know, 2-0 is brilliant. You're up 2-0, but one goal can change the game. So, you know, it took us a while to get the third last night. I thought the subs that came on after the actual rain delay, we had an hour rain delay as well, but the subs came on and we scored straight away and really did well at the end of the game, and we ended up getting 5 goals. Created a lot of chances. Similar today, you know, they came with a game plan. They you know, they played a high line and, you know, it was ugly a little bit. We clipped it over the top. We had a bit of success, but we got to finish, you know. I was talking to Ben Smith there at halftime, and he's like, hey, you should be 4-5. And I was like, yeah, you could take the team talk at halftime, because it was positive, but it was just like, you got to finish the chances.
It felt like, though, that for this Kerry team, it was more than being a step away, it felt like they were a couple of steps away. There needed to be one more play to be made to make it really good chances. Were you seeing what I was seeing there?
No, you know, they set up, you know, they changed it there as well. They, you know, back five, and then at times they changed it to a 3-4-3, and then they went back to a 4-4-2. They changed the formation 3 times in the game, they did. And I thought we did well in the press in changing it. You know, I think we were in control the whole game.
Oh, certainly.
Maybe they had one shot on goal. I have to look at the stats. It was good. We brought on, you know, we rested Daniel Malero and Joshua Salas as well. We didn't start those two boys, and they came, you know, Malero comes on within 5 minutes and scored straight away. Salas was excellent there when he came on. So we needed a little bit more creativity probably in the midfield, and we did. That's great. I thought Milos was phenomenal today. And he gets the goal, and then Niall Lovelock, like centre back, we played him as a 6, and he was. I thought he was man of the match today. He was phenomenal. Dennis Hamzik as well, centre back, won every header. That's his first start. I thought he was solid. We look really good defending free kicks. So yeah, it was highlight. I was just disappointed there. We got 2 stupid yellow cards there again at the end. Those 2 players be cleaning the locker room straight away, because any stupid yellow cards, I'm not happy, you know. So I was disappointed with that. But we're getting there.
He's Barry Farrell. We're wrapping up with him. Coach, depth that is developing on this team. Talk about the depth and how pleased you are from where you had a lot more questions to start the year about who was going to slot in at different positions, and how that's starting to crystallize and really round into form.
Yeah, like we had a lot of quality in kind of wing backs on the team, and you know, we had an injury to Badista Curtis straight away and you know, Milos and Luca was brilliant today as well. And then you've got, like, Figo didn't play, but he's a traditional kind of a right wing back. So we have a lot of depth out wide, and then Little Lone up front, you know, Selman, they came on there last couple of minutes, and a lot of pace as well. So, you know, we can go 23, 24 deep on this team, and we still have Curta coming back as well. Batista is, I mean, he's one of the fastest on the team. So we get, I think he starts training on Monday, and you know, hopefully we can ease him in. But at any time we can go, you know, the whole roster. There's no weakness on this team. We've got a really good goalkeeping core. You know, training has been excellent. So I say to the players all the time, you know, you have to earn the trust. You have to earn my trust, and the players have done that. And I have no chance. You see me there today. I have no 1-0 up. 20 minutes, 15 minutes left. We made the changes, you know, and I felt we needed that. And we got the reward. We got the goal. I got to give them credit, because they, you know, they'll do well in their conference. They've had they struggled to score goals this year, but defensively they were solid. And I think playing at William Carey and some of these CMUs and some of the teams they play, they'll do well in their conference.
Final thought, this was a huge weekend ahead of a conference weekend. You got a big conference weekend coming up next weekend. Tennessee Southern, a ranked Tennessee Southern, comes to town. So not only are the women ranked, the men are ranked as well. This is an exciting time for fans to come out and get reacquainted with Carey's men's soccer and women's soccer if you haven't had a chance to yet this year.
Yeah, I mean, UT Southern and
have a great tradition, men and women. You know, they've both won national championships on both sides over the years. Both teams are doing well, ranked opponents. So it's always been a good game. UT Southern, they play really good football. It's always a really good game. Start the conference. Thursday night should be a good crowd here with school back in. We play 7:30. I think it's 7:30, so should be a good crowd for the men's game and all for that.
All right, Coach, go enjoy, and we'll see you next weekend, and let's keep this winning streak rolling.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, and that was our interview with Coach Barry Farrell. Thanks so much, Josh, for grabbing that one before y'all headed out from Danny Owens Field. Coming up next, though, we are going to wrap things up with you and look ahead at the week to come. Also going to crown our Crusader of the Week. That and more coming up as we continue on Crusader Talk. Stay tuned.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics.
This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
A little housekeeping thing, by the way. I think we forgot to mention that in wrapping up that conversation about Nat Bartholomew and the baseball team that lives above her, they are now friends.
Yes.
Harmonious yes. Relationship there. They are not at odds with each other anymore, but... we did get the list of people involved, and I understand the camaraderie that they have and the noise level that may be accompanying that as well.
Yeah, that was probably one of the best peek behind the curtain stories we've had in a while as well.
You feel like Coach Farrell in that interview, by the way, that we just played back, you kind of hear that hope that he has in him. You know, he sees what this club is able to put together, and he knows they're trending the right direction.
No, he does. That's exactly what I got out of that. Just kind of keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep getting healthy. Yeah, they still have multiple guys that are either, you know, beginning training, getting back into the mix, starting up training. People that are listening to this, you know, either Monday or Tuesday, you know, getting back onto the pitch to train. So, depth is going to continue to grow on this team, and you're starting to see that translate onto the field. They bring in a couple of late subs in the final 10 to 15 minutes and immediately get that goal that spread it out and gave them that winning cushion.
Yeah, definitely. And so really impressed with what they have been able to do after a slow start to the year, trending in the right direction, but a big test ahead of William Carey for both men's and women's soccer. As for the women, it's going to be kind of that rematch for the regular season with UT Southern, as that matchup last year was the one that kind of haunted the Crusaders going into tournament action. That was the one that caused them to not win the regular season outright. And so with that, they have their opportunity at 5 o'clock on Thursday to get a victory over the Firehawks. Men will play shortly thereafter at about 7:30. Then coming up on the weekend, this is where we get in full athletics mode, almost like it's that crossover time of year with basketball and baseball. But it will be men's and women's tennis with a set of matches in Thibodaux, Louisiana, then volleyball. As we talked about earlier, got a big meeting with Loyola for a conference matchup. Josh, is it still going on, the meeting with LCU, Louisiana Christian, later that afternoon?
Yes, to my knowledge, that was something that we addressed in the post game with Elisa Porti, that they are really looking forward to that. So, yes, everything, by all indications, all systems go. So that's going to make a fun afternoon, morning and afternoon of volleyball.
Yeah, so if you're in the mood to watch some volleyball, which one of my favorite sports to take in from an energy standpoint, you got your work cut out for you and you got your lineup all set. 11 o'clock in the morning is William Carey versus Loyola. A little round robin style. They're going to have Louisiana Christian facing Loyola thereafter at 1 o'clock. And then finally the Crusaders after the break will have LCU to face at 3 o'clock. All there at the Ben Wallace Sports Facility. You can catch them out there. And then at the same time, we're going to be having soccer going on over down the road at Danny Owens Field. It'll be William Carey and a conference meetup with Blue Mountain Christian. 1:30 start time for the women's game. And then the men's match will be at 4 o'clock. That was a pretty impressive showing for William Carey women's volleyball last year, or excuse me, for women's soccer last year. I'm going to have to go back and see again what that score was, because like Abraham Baldwin, it was a 26-0 victory type of game for Carey. Not nearly the same spread of points, but still it was a pretty good cruise to victory. Here it comes. Let's see. Last one was 17-0. So if you like offense, that may be the match to go to, unless Blue Mountain has made a big turnaround.
Caleb, that wasn't a program-stopping win for William Carey, but that was a program-pausing win, was it not? They had to shut it down for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was either their last match or maybe they had one more after that. But, yeah, pretty debilitating loss to take there. I mean, I compare it to that kind of Cumberland and Georgia Tech game that we talk about in football, you know, the 222-0 thing where Cumberland was just kind of putting together, you know, a ragtag group of people just to field a team to make sure they didn't get fined for missing out on the meeting with Georgia Tech. So I think there was like faculty and others involved, not to that degree with Blue Mountain Christian. I think they had like some people from powerlifting or maybe another sport or two that tried to just give them some depth over there on their sideline. But after the game, our match against William Carey, I think that's when they decided to pull that plug. But that said, new season for Blue Mountain Christian. But if you like offense, it could be a good match to go to if you're a William Carey fan.
Now, and glad they got the program back. That, again, yeah, like you said, glad they have the program back.
Time now for our Crusader of the Week. Man, hard to assign who to give it to here. With such success in women's soccer, I feel like you have to give it to somebody from Coach Owen's bunch. You could give it to either Lauren Entremont, who had the hat trick against Georgia Gwinnett, arguably the better opponent from the week that we've just finished. But also, man, hard to look past Virginia Mesa and Natoya Atkinson, both with 5 goals in the matchup over the weekend. So, put them in a hat, draw it out. You, the listener, can pick who you want to assign Crusader of the Week. I feel like you could give it to any of those.
No, you certainly could. And like you said, just an all-star list. You could have co-champions, if you will, but that's what makes for good discussion as who would get it. Entremont still had a big week. She had 5 goals total herself. So worthy choices.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you get interviewed on Crusader Talk. Things like Lauren Entremont, 5 goals in a week. So maybe Nat's going to go off in the matchup with Loyola this weekend. We'll find out.
Fingers crossed.
Well, that'll do it for us. Our thanks to Natalie Bartholomew for joining us, as well as Coach Robert Gonzalez from swimming earlier on in the program. And for my co-host, Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill saying until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saters.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.